Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Ah, it's a very interesting, very, very interesting morning show with John and Hugh this morning. We had our replay with Adam Kaplan and the insider from the NFL draft. We played for you in the 6 o'clock hour. We are going to get back into our discussion of the NFL draft. We're going to be a little bit there's so much to talk about. We're going to dive into a lot of it. We just did a little NBA playoffs. We've got some Atlanta United. Breck Shea is going to be on the show at 8:40 this morning. We'll get into a little of that ahead of the game tomorrow. Game Saturday. Tomorrow is the NFL draft. I'm so locked in on the draft. Almost think it's a weekend tomorrow, but we certainly will get back into the NFL draft. Yes, we will get back into the Braves, what happened last night, what Brian Jordan said. That's on our Twitter right now, at 929 The Game, the poll on Brian Jordan saying that the Braves are lost at sea, and then the story that we've linked to it on 929thegame.com is in the comments section on the poll, so you can go there and click on that and read and listen to on your computer if you like what Brian had to say, and in full context as well. But on top of all of that, what we didn't need necessarily was another headline. And we got one late last night, and it's a big one. It's the NCAA basketball scandal that has now bled into Hugh football.
Yes.
And you were right. I mean, you said it's going to go into football. It's going to go into football. There's a trial going on in the Southern District of New York, that's Manhattan, in federal court in Manhattan right now. And yesterday during testimony, all of a sudden, here comes Martin Blaser. And we'll explain who he is in a moment. He is the key witness in this, saying, oh, yeah, hey, on the stand, by the way, we're doing it in football, too. These teams are guilty. And he started to list the teams, Hugh. And we've been paying players from certain teams. And, boy, all of a sudden, everybody's ears perked up because he said players that were paid from Pitt, from Penn State, from Northwestern, from North Carolina, from Michigan, from Notre Dame, and from Alabama. You can say what you like, but you start saying Michigan, Notre Dame, Alabama, you got people's attention.
Yeah, and you best believe, man, this is the way that I thought about it. You know, and some of those are prestigious schools, especially football schools. You know, you talk about the Michigans, the Penn States, and the Alabamas. But I started to think about the SEC as a whole and how many other teams are going down as well. And you know, let's be adult about this situation and know that everybody's doing it. Everybody's doing it. But now I'm starting to wonder how this affects the upcoming college football season, John. You're talking about, like, listen, they opened up a can of worms with this. I think this is just the tip of the iceberg. And you're talking about one of the biggest money makers in college sports right now. You're talking about dipping into a lot of people's pockets. And I wonder how far the feds are going to take this. That's the biggest question. We all know it's been going on. It's been that handshake and, you know, in the back room or whatever, the $100 handshake, whatever. We know this has been going on for a long time. I'm curious to see how far down the rabbit hole that they're willing to go with this. Because this could be something that could devastate a lot of different programs and take a lot of money out of a lot of people's pockets and put a lot of people in jeopardy. Like, that's how big this is going to be, John.
Who is Marty Blaser? Who is this guy? All right, he was indicted and pled guilty to 2 counts of wire fraud, 1 count of securities fraud, 1 count of lying to the SEC, and that's not the Southeastern Conference, that's the Securities and Exchange Commission. Of aggravated identity theft and more. So he's going to prison, right? So for his cooperation, the feds flip him. And they flip him to say, you've got to go on the stand and start naming names. And so he goes on the stand yesterday in New York, and Martin Blaser, a former Pittsburgh-based financial advisor turned government witness, testifies that he paid college football players from several programs, Hugh, from around 2000 to 2014 in hopes of becoming their financial advisor once they turn pro. So he's giving money directly to the players and to the players' families, right? That's what he's doing. He's going to the families saying, I'm going to give you a bunch of money. And now the Adidas scandal, which involved coaches getting money, Chuck Person at Auburn and others, Sean Miller kind of walked away from the Arizona program. We think, you know, it was the final straw in what happened to Rick Pitino at Louisville. So that involved coaches and Adidas, you know, funneling players to these universities. What Will Wade was caught up in at LSU, trying to get a player there. So this hasn't involved coaches yet, Hugh. It involves just athletes and their families so far. But I think we're just starting.
Yeah, this is just starting, John. But the one thing that you always do, and it kind of happened to me, but on a much lesser scale, But you always have somebody that's like the middleman or the handler, because even though the coach knows what's going on to a certain extent, he doesn't want to know what's going on. You know, you want to have immunity from the whole situation. Hey, well, listen, you know what?
There was a conversation had.
You know what? There was a conversation had. I don't know to the extent of what was going on, because that way you're not lying, but you're not telling the truth either. Because I was looking at Larry Johnson Senior's comments about this situation, and he said he didn't say that the story wasn't true, John. He said the story wasn't accurate. He said it wasn't accurate. So technically, he's not lying, but he's also not telling the truth. So I'm curious to see if this is going to be this is how this is going to play out in my mind. Either we're going to get engulfed in it this year or next year. But like they said in Game of Thrones, winter's coming. Oh, this winter's coming. The storm is coming, especially when you have somebody that this Blazer cat who just went in there and now he's telling on everybody. Like he's probably – I could just imagine how that conversation went with the feds. You know, you're looking at 20 years in jail. You're looking at 20 years, Mr. Blazer. We want to know what you know. What do you want to know? I could tell you about stuff that I didn't even know about, but I know people that know people. Like, he went in there, he went and telling on everybody.
Right.
Because when you're talking about doing some serious time, John, to people that have never been in a position to even think about doing time like that, they think that they're not hurting anybody. When you start talking about that serious time, they're telling on everybody.
Oh, he is snitch number one.
They're telling on everybody.
He is snitching.
And I would not be surprised. Like, in order for you to corroborate all these stories, you have a paper trail. He has to have a paper trail. He has to have one. I do. I cannot see this guy. If he's telling like this, he has information to back up everything that he's accusing everybody about. This is going to get ugly.
Yeah, and he claims he made cash payments $100,000 to $3,000 a month, depending on the player. Now, you ask yourself as a fan, there's two more things I want to mention here, and I want to get your reaction at 404-741-0929 to whether or not you think that this is going to turn out to be a big deal. Here are the couple of things. Number one, keep this in mind. You're going to go, well, everybody's done it. It's not whether you – understand something. It's not whether you cheat. It's whether you get caught. And the way the NCAA works, because the NCAA hasn't weighed in on basketball yet, and they will – oh, they will – but this is still in the court stage. This trial going on, and Blazer, by the way, is going to testify again today. All right, so he's going to be back on the stand today. He may say more names today.
John, this is – you know what I think is going to happen? There's going to be some people that are going to take hits. But the NCAA as a whole, these colleges as a whole, I don't think so.
Oh, I do.
John, it's too much money.
Oh,
it's too much
money. Well, they're not going to give him the death penalty because the leagues will never accept it. But I could see serious sanctions coming in terms of scholarship restrictions and postseason bans and things of that nature.
I'm going to let you finish.
Okay.
But you mean to tell, okay, say we're speculating here.
Right.
A postseason ban of Alabama?
Oh, yeah.
Because that's the big, like, when you look at this story.
I don't know how big Alabama's involvement is.
Okay, let's say it's huge. We're speculating. I can't see that.
Oh, yeah.
You're talking about, like, this is why I feel – that it's a big deal, but it's not the fines and everything that's going to happen is not going to hurt these bigger schools. Can you actually see Alabama?
Yeah, Oklahoma got a postseason ban for a couple of years.
Oklahoma ain't Alabama though, John.
And Ole Miss is going through it right now. All right, see, here's what the NCAA says. The NCAA says we cannot possibly know everything that's going on. So we tell you as a school that you must police yourself, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's called institutional control. You have control inside your institution. If you do not have institutional control, it's called a lack of institutional control. And that's what gets you into so much trouble. Now, having said that, that's where they get you. Did you control it? USC did not control the fact that Reggie Bush's family got to use a $1 million home for $1 a year. And when that's what got USC into so much trouble is that they didn't stop it themselves. Now, what I'm about to say to you, understanding lack of institutional control is really important, because there's another part of this story that has broke, listen to me, better English, overnight, and it involves UGA. We do not know. Again, we do not know if this is tied to Marty Blazer and what he testified to yesterday, though the timing is a little suspicious, all right? That's all I'll say. It could be something entirely different, but this is what Dog Nation says this morning. Hugh, Daisha King, listed as the Bulldogs recruiting program coordinator on the team's website, the Bulldogs recruiting program coordinator, was fired yesterday. Lukman Abdullahi, director of on-campus recruiting, 30-day suspension without pay. Now, we don't know if Daisha King was fired. Again, the Bulldogs recruiting program coordinator was fired yesterday. But Georgia is not named by Blazer yet, and I don't know if he will. I'm just saying that's the institutional control. If you get into trouble and you realize you're in trouble, Hugh, what you have to do is you have to police yourself. Again, I don't know that that's what's happening at Georgia, but you get ahead of this by firing people and taking it upon yourself. If
I would
you
agree.
Don't, that's where you get in
I would
trouble.
Agree, and I would even go as far as to say, John, and we don't know for sure if Georgia's involved with this.
No, we do not.
We do not know for sure. But if there is any speculation or suspicion that anybody was involved in anything like this, you can't be around a program. And I think if that's the case, that's what Georgia's doing. Again, Georgia has not been implicated in this. We are speculating at this point. I don't want anybody, any Bulldogs fans, get all up in the feelings. We're just kind of, you know, we're just analyzing stuff. We're being analysts. And if that's the case, and if anybody has anything to do with anything that could be considered, you know, detrimental to the program, you got to cut ties with that person.
It may be something entirely unrelated.
Yes.
The King was fired and Abdullahi was suspended without pay.
Yes, but I will say this, John Freaking.
Happening on the same day?
I will say this. When you got somebody that like a Martin Blazer that's on the stand and he's telling on everybody, it's almost like, what was that in Goodfellas when they robbed that the Lufthansa heist and everybody was spending money? You gotta tie up all those loose ends. This is the Lufthansa heist, John Freaky, and you got to tie up these loose ends. You gotta tie them up.
Taking your comments on our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line at 404-741-0929. We'll read a couple of those in a moment. Marsha's in Jonesboro, and she joins us this morning. Hey, morning to you, Marsha.
Marsha.
Hey, good morning, guys. I love your show. Hey, look, I want to chime in on this. This guy that's supposedly testifying, he's already a liar. He's already in trouble with the SEC. And the FBI flipped him, I think. I mean, how credible is this guy? And I think before, you know, let's don't leap to any conclusions here and just be calm and cool and let it come out as it comes out. Because I tell you what, I mean, I don't care who he mentioned, if he mentioned Georgia or Alabama, any of those guys. I want to see some proof. That's what I want to see. So I'll let y'all talk now.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Marsha, can I get a roll tie before you go?
Roll Tide.
Yeah, there you go. Yep, we knew that was coming. I will say this. Well, she's not technically wrong, but
no, she's not.
But she's wrong. And here's why. And I don't mean to say that. Look, the basketball coaches have already gone to prison for this scandal. Okay, they're in prison,
John,
for this scandal. And Martin Blazer has been indicted and charged and found guilty,
John,
in this scandal.
Don't you ever let the facts get in the way of a good story. Okay. Leave it alone. Leave it alone, John. This is why, like last night when I tweeted this story out and I was talking about who's going to be the first person to ask Coach Saban about this scandal.
Uh-huh.
Bama fans were jumping on me. Hey, man, don't you be putting that on Coach. Bruh, uh-huh. I'm not putting it on Coach Saban. Only thing I'm saying, it's a question because the story's been put out there. I am not in any way, shape, or form accusing Alabama of doing anything.
Right.
I am not sitting here on this radio station and saying that Alabama has been cheating. However, Martin Blazer said they've been cheating. And everybody that Martin Blazer has told on so far has went to jail.
Yeah,
that's all I'm saying.
All right, right.
And to Marsha's point, is Martin Blazer a liar? Yes. But he's a liar for the people right now. He's a liar for the FBI. And one thing you need to know about the FBI is before they come after you, they're gonna make sure they got you before they come after you. That's all I'm saying. I do respect the fact that she hit that Roll Tide.
Yeah, I know. I really respect the fact that she went Roll Tide. And look, Alabama's, it may be a small thing. I mean, we don't know the severity of these things, and we don't know that Alabama didn't take care of it already. Again, this is why I wanted to be really careful before I rolled into this Georgia story, because the timing is certainly suspect, but it may not be related at all. And that's all we know. We're just reporting it to you. It's just interesting to note that your football recruiting coordinator happens to be fired the same day that Martin Blazer goes on the stand and starts naming names. All right, we're going to continue this because we're not quite – this is a involved story that involves big-time powers. More of your reaction. We'll read some of your texts and the phone lines are open. What do you make of this?
Back in action.
As they kick off Season 3.
Catch every game here all season long.
Our MLS Cup champion Atlanta United play here.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Quite a day, the day before the NFL draft, and we will get into our draft discussion about where we stand now, big trades and lots of rumors floating around. Plus, we'll get into our serious discussion about the Braves coming up in about 15 minutes or so about what Brian Jordan said. And if you haven't heard or seen what he said about the Braves start, you can go to our Twitter at 929TheGame and vote in our poll. And in the comments section, we link to our website story at 929TheGame.com, or you just go to our website and read what Brian said about how the Braves look a little lost at sea. And we're asking you about whether or not you think he might be right. We are discussing, though, in all these big stories, this NCAA scandal, which was in basketball. And you said, Hugh, time and again, this is going to go to football. It's going to go to football. And yesterday, guess what? It went to football.
Yeah. I kind of hate that it did, though, because now I think it's going to get ugly. But again, John, this is where you're going to find out, I believe, that you're going to find out how our system really works and who really has the power. It's going to be the NCAA, the FBI. Now, I wouldn't bet against the FBI in most circumstances, in most situations, but this one I feel a little bit differently about, because you're talking about a multi-billion dollar conglomerate right now. And it's too much money in football. It's too much money in football for you to start messing around with the blue blood programs in college football right now. And we were talking in the break about speculating. Okay, and I know this is probably going to take a while for the NCAA to come down to these sanctions and everything. I understand that, because this is a long drawn out process. But just think about this, John. Say if it comes down that most of the major programs have had something to do with this, and they give them, say, a bowl ban. They take away some scholarships and give them bowl bans. Mm-hmm. So now we're talking about in the 14 playoffs, Navy, Temple, you know, UCF, USF.
UCF could actually be national.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And we're even talking about a college football playoff system where you're going to see teams with 2 and 3 losses that are going to be vying for the national championship, because that's all you're going to have left.
We don't know. We don't know what the NCAA penalties are going to be. If there are going to be any NCAA penalties, we don't know. I mean, the NCAA has of yet banned basketball teams. Look how Auburn was implicated in this whole Adidas scandal, and look how Auburn did, how far they went in the tournament, and one of their assistant coaches going to prison, and one of their stars of all time in Chuck Person. Because of all of this. Again, the NCAA basketball scandal is being, and that's what, let's not lose sight of the fact, that's what they're investigating now in New York, is the basketball scandal, okay? And the Southern District of New York is in court, in federal court in Manhattan, yesterday, today. They're going to be more testimony. This is about the basketball scandal, and it just so happened that during the course of this, one of the people involved in the basketball scandal, a snitch named Marty Blazer, who's already been...
You didn't label him a snitch already.
Oh, he is a snitch.
I'm just saying.
He's already pled guilty to multiple counts of fraud and theft and everything else. He's going to prison.
Now, I would like to think if I was in that same situation, that if I knew the consequences of my actions, that I wouldn't tell. But There's no John. They probably served that man with about 30 years, and he's looking at 30 years. That's probably why he's telling on everybody.
I didn't say I had a problem with him snitching. I just said he's snitching. You didn't ask me whether or not I thought it was right.
I mean, he's doing what's best for him and his family. He's probably looking at like 30 or 40 years.
He said that he was a financial advisor, and he would pay players and their parents, not coaches, but star players and their parents, money per month, and with the agreement before they went to college and during their time in college, with the agreement that as soon as they turned pro, they would hire him to be the financial advisor, and that's how he'd make money. And so he said he paid players from several football programs over a near 15-year period, players from Pittsburgh, Penn State, Michigan, Northwestern, North Carolina, Notre Dame, and Alabama. Now, again, that's what he just said, and he's going to testify again today on the stand. Will he go farther? And then there's a side story that we mentioned, and that isn't it interesting that, and it may not be related at all, but the Dog Nation reporting that yesterday, the UGA's football recruiting coordinator, or pardon me, the recruiting program coordinator, the recruiting program coordinator for Georgia, Daisha King, was fired. And the director of on-campus recruiting, Lukman Abdullahi, was placed on 30-day suspension without pay. I don't know if it has anything to do with this. It may not. I'm just saying that it is. The timing is a little odd. That's all. And we don't know the severity of what Alabama is alleged to have done. I have no idea what Alabama is alleged to have done. And by the way, it may not just be these six or seven schools. It may be everybody.
Let's just say
it's
all of them, John. And my man Ezekiel Love is chiming in. What's up, Ezekiel? He up north, and he said it's still the feds, depending on how much pressure is put on that southern district, you know, of New York. He said it's tough in New York. So, yeah, it's all of that, man. And I'm telling you, it all depends on how far down the rabbit hole they want to go. I honestly believe that, John, because you're talking about messing with a lot of money. Mm-hmm. Like, and I'm pretty sure that somebody who's ever going to prosecute this and whoever going after this, the watchdog that's going after this, they're probably telling me, you know, going after football is going to be a big deal. Somebody, this is going to make somebody's career. This is a career case right here. And whoever caught this case, there's going to be some backdoor conversation that are going to be had, and it's going to be, hey, man, how far you want to take this?
Well, so that everybody understands.
This is going to be a lifetime movie, John Fricky.
The Southern District of New York is Manhattan. It is the most powerful district, the Attorney General's office in the entire country, aside from the Attorney General of the United States. It's the most powerful. That's why they go there, because it's all Wall Street. And this is SEC fraud, it's wire fraud, it's mail fraud. That's why they go to the Southern District of New York. It's the most powerful DA's office in the entire.
John, this is a Sunday primetime movie. This is going to be something that, what, 10 years from now when it's all said and done, whomever caught this case, whomever went down the rabbit hole, they're going to be famous. And that's what you're looking at. You're looking at somebody right now. Whomever that person is looking like, I am going to make my career off of this here. Going after college football and the corrupt regime and all the money that's exchanging hands, all the people that are giving these kids $10,000, $15,000 handshakes to go to certain schools, yeah, this is about to get ugly.
And a couple of names that have not been named directly, but Marty Blazer said, hey, it was this pick of this draft and this pick of this draft. Well, those two players that have been named that he was paying or his family was paying, Hakeem Nicks of North Carolina and Aaron Maben of Penn State, okay?
I remember Aaron Maben's name, too. He was supposed to be the hot guy coming out of Penn State.
Mm-hmm.
Hot pass rusher.
Right.
Was built like Tarzan, played like Jane.
Dennis in Snellville is on with John and Hugh. Hey, Dennis.
Hey, how's it going, you guys? Hey, I just want to say I listen to you guys' show every single day, and I love you guys. But I do want to make a comment when it comes to what the young lady said earlier today on the show. I mean, I understand she's saying that, you know, they need to sit back and be cool. But if you sit back too long and be too cool, you're going to lose. I know if it was me and I was in charge of an organization, I'm purging the system. I'm getting rid of everyone that could possibly be associated to any of that. So bottom line is there's going to be casualties. There's going to be casualties through all these organizations. I'm waiting to see which one But again, you
gotta and we can't know it. It's also fresh. Dennis, do appreciate your
You can't know, but
and I appreciate your weighing.
I will say this, and again, we got to keep saying this. Georgia has not been implicated.
No,
it has not been implicated. But if there is anything wrong doing what you say, John is talking about policing yourself first.
Yeah, institutional control.
Institutional control.
That's the key phrase.
If there is anything that was done that could put your program in jeopardy, you have to purge that individual.
Right. You've got to take charge of it.
And even if that's not the case, because this is the thing, man. If somebody's out there naming names and you don't know what names they're going to name and you know you haven't done it, you can't take that chance. Because if you sit there and somebody says, hey, did you do this, that, and the third? And they tell you yes, and then you find out later that they didn't. I mean, they're lying. That puts you in a bad spot.
Oh, yeah, a real bad spot.
You know, and I always like to use movie analogies. Remember in The Untouchables when Elliot Ness went to the judges and they wanted to change the court venue because he said the judge's name was in the ledger. And it wasn't, but the judge didn't know that in the Al Capone's ledgers. The judge didn't know that, but he couldn't take that chance. So he had to move the court venue. It's the same thing. You can't take that chance. If it's going to put your football season in jeopardy, you do not want to take that chance with all of these allegations that potentially somebody's in your organization, you know, handing out money.
I want to be very clear, though, because, you know, this microphone that we have is a pretty, pretty big megaphone. We do not know if the Georgia thing is related to this or totally unrelated to this. We just said, all we said is the timing is interesting, isn't it? On the day that Marty Balin starts naming names, Georgia makes these moves. Now, again, it could be totally, you know, Daisha King could have gotten into a fist fight, for all we know, with another employee, and they fired her for that. I have no idea. I'm just saying to you, because they haven't said why, I'm just saying to you that this is interesting, and what we're trying to do is get ahead of this story. The basketball Adidas scandal is what's on trial now, and now they're suddenly naming football programs, which is really not a surprise. You do need to know as well, the death penalty. Somebody texted in on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line from the 561. I don't know that area code. Miami got the death penalty, and Miami is a powerhouse, yada, yada, yada. Miami didn't get the death penalty, all right? Only one football program has ever gotten the death penalty, and that is SMU. Now, Tulane imposed the death penalty on itself for basketball, but that was something that Tulane chose to do. The death penalty is you do not get to play at all. And when they floated the death penalty, the NCAA, for the Jerry Sandusky scandal at Penn State and said, Hugh, that Penn State could get the death penalty, the commissioner of the Big Ten, Jim Delaney, stood up and said, if you give Penn State the death penalty, we're going to pull out of the NCAA. You can't give anybody the death penalty. You can't affect the television contract.
And that's why, John Fricke, it's going to be interesting to see how this story plays out. Because you're basically saying the same thing. You give Alabama the death penalty, then the SEC might do the same exact thing. And now you got
right,
a whole.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, it's going to be ugly.
Nobody's getting the death penalty.
It's going to be ugly.
That's not going to
happen. And you ain't snatching scholarships either.
It is a doubleheader at Twin Peaks at Kennesaw today and tomorrow. Today, midday show, 10 to 2 at Twin Peaks at Kennesaw. You can go over there and check out Andy Bunker's going to be over there 10 to 2. Dukes of Bell going to be at Twin Peaks tomorrow from 2 to 7 for coming up. Check that. I want to make sure I get this right. Tomorrow and Friday. Thursday, midday show. Friday, Dukes and Bell, 2 to 7. Part of our draft coverage brought to you by northerntool.com. All right, let's get into the Braves. We told you there's a lot to talk about this morning, and we do want to talk about what Brian Jordan said about the Braves. Are the Braves lost at sea? That's next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the game.
Mornings with John and Hugh.
Yeah, that's right, G.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hoodie, 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 ho. All right, I have to put it, we're going to get into the Braves here in a moment, but this whole scandal thing is coming up. I want to reiterate to all of you, we have questions out. We're asking our experts. We're following on the story about UGA as to why this person, Daisha King, was fired. It may not have anything to do with this. We're just curious. It may just be poor timing, okay? And so I know a lot of you are in your feelings this morning, and rightfully so. This is affecting a lot of fans. I get it. But again, I can't say it for the 15th time. We have no idea. We're asking the questions. All right? That's all. Braves, big issue here. Now, Brian Jordan is somebody that we all love because, you know, I mean, because of the, you know, football and basketball and football and baseball and everything that Brian is to us. Brian Jordan said something yesterday on the midday show that got people kind of going, "Ooh, what? Huh? Because he is so respected that when he said it, people went, wow, got everybody's attention. We even run into a poll question on it this morning talking about the Braves' start of the season. This is what Brian Jordan had to say.
Right now, they are lost at sea. You know, still trying to figure that direction out, you know, how to get back to land.
All right. Right now, they're lost at sea trying to figure out the direction to get back to land. A little bit later on, he did kind of qualify it and say, look, it's still early here, and you know, they could figure it out. But I think it's an interesting comment because it speaks to – it's a way of saying what Brian Jordan is speaking for all of us who are watching the Braves. Hugh, I think a lot of us feel – that right now this team is a little adrift. They're a little bit lost at sea. That's like the best way anybody's put it so far. Do you agree with Brian that they're a little lost at sea?
I would never argue with Brian Jordan because, like I said, he's the guy that he has his finger on the pulse of this team. He's around them all the time. I just find it kind of interesting. And when you say lost at sea, that to me says like the team as a whole is lost at sea. I would think that listening to those cuts, I would probably narrow that down to the pitching staff. Like, that's a situation where you have to figure out. I don't know if they lost at sea. It's still kind of early. They're half a game. They're 1.5 games out of first, if I'm not mistaken, or it's a half a game out of first. It's one or the other. So I don't know if I feel the same way that he does. But, again, Brian Jordan played baseball, and I have to defer to him when he says things like that. And to his point, I'm kind of with the mindset that it's still early. It's still early. But I do find what he says very, very interesting. And as a matter of fact, when I get an opportunity, I'm going to call him and just try to pick his brain a little bit because I just want to see it how he sees it. Because when I see this team, I think that the hitting is starting to come around for you. And that's the one thing that we talked about going into this season that you had to have. Josh Donaldson looks like he's coming into his own. He's rounding into form right now. So I would be curious to ask Brian, you know, if he could, for me, as a radio analyst, to help me understand better what exactly did he mean by lost at sea.
He did qualify. And we're going to be fair to Brian. We're not trying to you know, use Brian's comments and say, can you believe Brian Jordan said this?
No, we're not doing that.
I mean, because he did qualify it a little bit later in the interview when he said, you know, look, it's still early. They can right this ship. But you know what? I think he was honest when he said they're lost at sea because I went, yes, that's the term I've been looking for because Brian Jordan is right. They are a little lost at sea. And the point of that is, even though, and you're right, Hugh, they're only a game and a half out of first place. It's only been 22 games. They have 11 losses. Philadelphia has 10. The Braves, Mets, and Nationals all have 11. There's nothing been decided here. But when it comes to guys going up and coming down and going up and coming down and trying to find, Jesse Biddle's walked 8 batters against his last 8 outs. You keep putting Chad Sabatka into games for some reason I can't figure out. We got the new pitching coach, Rick Kranitz, to come over from Philadelphia. There was a lot of talk about Chuck Hernandez, the former pitching coach, and, oh, we have to shore this up. We have to start pounding the strike zone. We got to get rid of walks. And all the Braves pitchers this year have done is walk, 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 walk. Walk, 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 walk. 9 more walks last night. The reason they lost the game last night was because they walked 9 batters. This has got to stop. And I know it's got to be driving them nuts in the Braves, and they're lost at sea trying to figure out how to stop the bleeding.
I tell you what, though. Last night, for I would say probably 3 innings, Sonny Gray looked pretty good. They got to him a little bit. I think it was more in the 4th inning and in the 5th. But he looked pretty decent in the first 3 innings. It was that Yasiel Puig 2-run homer that really got the party started. And then you saw a little bit. The Braves fought to get back in it. And then Cincinnati Reds hit another homer, and it was just – those people you put in position to walk on base and everything, that's what really
hurt. These walks are killing the Braves.
That's what really killed it for you.
Yeah, and the middle relief, well, the entire staff, is just walking way too many players.
Yeah.
Their walk ratio is off the charts. And you brought Rick Kranitz in to fix this problem. It was a problem last year, a problem you were able to avoid because everybody around you in the NL East was melting down and you were getting clutch hitting and whatnot, and you won 90 games. But everybody said in the offseason, hey, you know, we got to fix this walk thing. So you get rid of Chuck Hernandez and you bring in Rick Kranitz from Philadelphia to help fix this walk thing, and it hadn't gone away. I'm not saying Rick Kranitz is not good at his job.
I think
I'm saying it hasn't gone away.
But as you saw in the beginning of the season, John, and you saw it a little bit from Julio Teheran, you see it a lot from Max Fried, and you saw it from Sean Newcomb when he was up here. They were more aggressive in their pitching initially. Initially, they were more aggressive. I think at some point, a lot of guys kind of got away from being that aggressive and got kind of timid with some of their pitches, and that's what you're going through right now. The one thing I like about Max Fried, and I go back to the other night when he was getting squeezed on the mound in Cleveland, and he looked like he was visually upset about it, and he just locked in, and that's when he righted the ship, and he started throwing that smoke. You got to have the right kind of mentality, and you got to believe in the stuff that you're throwing, and I think that was probably part of the problem with Sean Newcomb. And that's probably part of the problem with some of the other pitching that you have going on right now. You're telling me to do one thing, but they're probably not as confident in their stuff as they need to be in order to make that happen for them.
Well, Max Fried is a Shangri-La island of gold and honey and wine and women and song in the middle of everybody else out there floating in a boat that's leaking oil and lost at sea.
He has the right type of mentality. And you know, it's funny because, you know, being around this pitching staff as long as I've been around them, and to see – you know, guys go through their different ups and downs. It's kind of refreshing to see a guy out there on the mound with a little bit different mentality than the other guys. Right now, he has, in my mind, Max Fried has separated himself from the other pitchers in a big way in a short period of time.
Oh, he's an all-star. He's no, at this point.
Well, okay, on this team, at this point,
no,
right now.
I mean, if they selected the All-Star team today, he certainly.
Yeah.
Eddie's
what,
a Cy Young candidate.
He's 3-0 right
Cy
now.
Cy Young candidate leads the NL in ERA.
Yeah, man.
He's a Cy Young candidate
you,
at this point.
It's refreshing to see somebody who has that mentality that I think that you have to have as a starting pitcher.
So we want to ask you at 404-741-0929 and on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, do you agree with what Two Sportman said, what Brian Jordan had to say? Are they lost at sea? We're going to talk Braves next as they try and get back onto level ground with the Reds. Top of the hour with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.